Well, hello everybody. It is Eddie. Glad you're with us. It is a titanium visit week, so we don't have quite as big a crowd as we normally do. I had a couple, two, three cancellations, but got a room full of people. I'm gonna let y'all say hi to them. Everybody wave. Hey, hey, hey.
Hi.
Got Kevin Shortell with us as well. He's been working with us in the titanium this week. So as you kind of guys typically know, we'll usually invite them in for the Tuesday call. And so they're all kind of hanging out in my office. Mr. Moore, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Present at counter four.
All right. And Ellen and Sarah, you guys with us?
We are here.
Okay. Well, I'd say let's jump into it. Where are we going with Ellen?
We are going with Robin. I just need to get her unmuted.
Robin.
Robin, you have the floor.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Robin, what's up?
Oh, hi there. We've had this non-performing note on the call for various reasons the last, I don't know, couple times this summer. Roman and I are doing a JV on this note.
Okay.
So we feel like we have gotten the enough information from the borrower to do a workout. Just a little bit of history. We had filed foreclosure. The borrower is living in the home with his wife, and but they really want to stay. This will jog your memory. This is the borrower who has a federal conviction against him for tax fraud. He and some friends had evidently used other people's Social Security numbers to falsify tax returns for refunds, and he got caught. So that disqualified him from a hardest hit fund. And so anyway, it turns out, I think, with his wife and his wife's father, who is living or will be living in the house, and she has a power of attorney, his income, will be able to do a workout. My question is, when we had the court required us to go through some mediation, and we have another call coming up in about 10 more days. And during the last two mediations, we offer the borrower, if they would come up with $45,000, we'll release everything and just walk away. Now, you'll see here from the what I presented, the UPB, it's over $100,000. I mean, it's just a ridiculous amount. The home value is probably around 70. And we felt like $45,000 was a fair number, but of course they said they can't come up with that. They have about 15 or 20 that they might be able to borrow, but they also have some tax liens, 2 years of tax liens that were on the property that were sold that they're having to make payments on. They still owe for 2015 taxes, and they wanted to use part of that money they were going to borrow to pay those liens off, pay the property taxes, get them current, and then they would be left with around $5,000 they could put down. Well, I'm wondering if, since we're going to have to do some kind of payout, if we accept the $5,000, should we go ahead and still accept a $45,000 note, a modification, or should we up that number, or does that just sound like we're being greedy?
Well, this probably is a little bit hindsight's 2020. Just I wanted to mention it, just not only for you but for the other audience. And the reason I know these things, Robin, is because you know I've made all these mistakes over and over. I probably would not have given them a short payoff option until I knew their cash position. Because if they don't have the money and they can't come up with the money, then all of a sudden they still get it in their mind with $45,000. See what I'm saying?
Okay. Yes, I do understand.
You ought to be modifying this loan for $70,000 and or whatever, 75 grand, and that's just how it is. I mean, that, you know, 45,000 is, you can write a check today and walk away, and but it kind of it kind of taints a little their mind. Well, you know, but you said 45,000. Hell yeah, if you had cash.
Right, and here's where I'm going with that, Eddie. Just to is the thought that so many times I hear from other people that have been doing this as well is you know, a lot of times these people can borrow the money. I mean, because they did tell me up front that they had 15 to 20,000 they could borrow from his mother. And but that was what they didn't say anything about using that money for any other purpose. So I thought, well, if they can come up with that, you know, the friends and family program, we could offer you. So that's kind of where we were coming from.
You know, in my mind, Robin, you the 45,000, I mean, that's only 65% of what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty light.
Okay.
I mean, just hindsight 2020. I probably wouldn't have settled on that number. And now that they got to pay taxes, now they're saying, well, we can't. You know, you come up with $5,000. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like, I don't know. That didn't sound like a great deal to me.
So, okay. So now, one of the things I asked them, and I should have had it. What's today? Today's Tuesday. I should have had it by now. I need to check. Is I told the wife, who she's the one really playing, you know, making all the calls on this. I said, well, you need to come give me a monthly number that you all can work with, and make sure you give me a gross amount, because we're going to escrow taxes and insurance. But I haven't gotten that yet. And I was going to take that number and kind of back into it. And when they had made an offer, kind of like a counter offer to us, they had said, you know, $5,000 down, but they wanted to pay it off in 6 to 10 years. So now,
well,
I'm thinking.
You know, the old boy's got a part-time job, right?
Oh, well, he's got more than a part-time job. He's getting paid a lot of stuff with cash. So he's not paying any tax.
I'm just saying he's got a part-time job with the old tax return thing.
Oh, he's, yeah. he's definitely has some other income. So, I mean, I can, the thing is, we're going through foreclosure right now. I mean, we're in the process. We haven't stopped that.
Robin, you think he does illegal things?
You know, it's hard to tell, because he did serve a little bit of time, and I think, you know, this wife is a new wife, and, you know, I don't know how long exactly she's been involved, but I don't know. Who knows? He's a good con man. I know that much. He's pretty good. But he's also come forward with a lot of information that I don't think he would have if, you know, I don't think he would have if he was trying to hide something.
You know why?
You're wrong. Pardon?
You know why I asked that?
Why?
Because we've had a lot of situations where the husband was doing illegal stuff. Usually they're in pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they get put in the clink, and then the wife ain't got no chance of making a payment, and if you put your head in there, you just ain't going to go there.
Well, actually, she makes more money than he does.
Okay, she's got a good job.
Well, she's got a couple of fairly decent jobs, and she's the one with the father that is bringing in about $3,300 or $3,500 a month in retirement income that's going to be living with her. And she has full POA. I have a copy of the POA. And so she, you know. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, who knows? I don't know.
Well, here's what I would say. I'm not sure that if I were in some facet of foreclosure that I would settle for them $5,000 to stop it. I certainly would do a forbearance agreement if I did.
Oh, yeah.
But I just don't know that they're bringing enough skin in the game to entice you.
Okay.
You know, maybe, you know, they just got to figure out how to come up with some more resources, and you need to make sure that, you know, you don't get tripped up with the tax situation. You got a $70,000 asset, okay? It's not trying to be, it's not that you're trying to be difficult. You're not trying to take the house from them. You're just trying to make sure it's a good underwriting decision for you. You're not being flexible. You're just saying, you're just trying to make sure that you can, you know, live with their decision. You know, what they think they want to do, and so I would say you're being pretty soft with them.
Okay, well, that's why I wanted to ask you. That's what I kind of felt like. And let me just and add to this, and you may have some other comments about this. The latter part of my question there. So also, and I believe I sent into Ellen the Schedule B. There's a lot of liens on this property. Child support. I'm not so worried about that. Supposedly one of them has gotten worked out with the ex-wife, which I don't know how, but anyway. But there are several state tax liens. And then he's got an IRS lien that I know that I've got a copy in February of 2016. He owes about $29,000. So I don't, you know, that, I know that's attached to the person, but that I still have some issues with those.
Well, the IRS is attached to the person. Kevin, pardon? Is Ohio a super lien state? Tortell's here in the office. Uh-huh. I don't remember. Anybody know? I don't remember Ohio being a...
I don't believe it is.
It's not.
Here's the underwriting decision there, Robin. Let's just say you stop the foreclosure and you reinstate the loan, okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The problem that you have is that now they don't have any equity in their house. I mean, what's their motivation to pay for it?
Nothing more than, yeah.
The fact they have emotional equity, they don't want to move.
Yeah.
You're looking down the gun barrel of a modified loan for 70 and then another 35 or 40 on top of that. And I'm just saying people wake up one day and they're like, we're just paying for, you know what I'm saying? It just usually doesn't create a good long-term situation when they owe that much money.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that he has an IRS lien against him after his issue with the IRS. Is that a result of it or something else?
I don't know for sure, actually. I have not asked that question. But I know that, and I don't know, you see it right there, $24,000. But with the interest on it, now it's up to $29,000, so.
You know what I would say, Robin?
Hmm.
I would say you guys need to convince me that you're really a candidate for modification. I want to work with you, but I don't want to modify this loan and put you in a further stressful situation where you can't pay in the future. And I just think you gotta kind of like give me something to work with here that tells me why we need to modify it. Just sit back.
Okay, so, and I understand what you're saying, but what would I be looking for? I mean, they have provided quite a bit of financial information. So I don't know what else to ask for. And let me throw this out to you, Eddie. So one of my concerns, and I told in our mediation phone call, so this last mediation call last week, they were supposed to come to the table with, they owe for 2015 property taxes. They also do not, they don't have any homeowners insurance. And I said, I'm getting forced place insurance for you. And unless you come to the table with showing evidence of insurance. So what does he bring? He gives me two quotes for insurance. And the insurance is like $300 a year for this house. And so his comment was, which I understand where he's coming from. He says, well, I didn't want to go pay the $1,500 in taxes and the homeowner's insurance if I wasn't going to be able to stay in the house. But he did send me, I did get this week, I got a bank statement. He says he has about $2,000 saved up to go pay those two things as soon as we get something agreed upon. And he did send me a bank statement, and that is true. He does have the $2,000. Now, whether what it's for, who knows, but
Robin,
he does have that.
Here's my thought. Guy right. said, well, I've given you all this information. And you're like, yeah, but let me just tell you this. I'm looking at a deal. I'm looking at your title. You've had issues with the IRS. You've had this issue, that issue. When I modify the loan, you know, I'm going to reduce it down, but I'm not going to reduce it down to way less than what the property's owed. I'm gonna forego some money for you that you really owe to me, but I'm not going to forego all of it.
Okay. And
now all of a sudden you got taxes owed, you got this other stuff, and now all of a sudden you're telling me you're going to come up with $5,000 to state this. I'm just saying to you, why does that make sense for me?
Mm-hmm.
And once again, you just kind of put it back on them, and you just say, you know, I want to work for you. I do not want to extend this loan and have any chance that you're gonna default again.
Right.
I just don't see that you're taking that risk away from me as the lender.
Here's the dilemma I'll be in, because the next time we have a call, it'll be another mediation call. The mediator is going to ask me, oh, and by the way, this guy, he doesn't have an attorney, so that's helpful. He's going to ask me, well, what is it you're going to need, Ms. Jackson? And I'm like, to prove that they're, you know, so what would you say? Well, you know, I want more money down. I'm not sure what else to get from him.
You need more money down to be in a modification situation. And the mediator goes, well, it's this or that. You say, look, let me just tell you this. He ain't paid taxes. Right. He ain't paid insurance on the house. He's not acted like a homeowner. He ain't made payments in years. Mm-hmm. What's he done with all his money? He tells me he makes all his money. He's going to be able to repay the loan. What's he done with all the money he should have had? He didn't pay the IRS. You know, it was like, listen, you're asking me to be the lender and work with the guy, and I want to work with him. I'm just saying to you, following his story, what did he do with all his money?
Yeah, good point. Okay.
He made his mortgage payments. He ain't paid the IRS. He ain't paid the insurance, taxes, house support. You know what they say, don't loan money to a jailbird?
Okay. Well, that's what I needed. I needed something I can feed off of.
You know, you're not trying to be unreasonable. You're just being a lender, and the guy owes you money, and you're trying to be confident he can pay you back. Mm-hmm. Based on what he says, his financial statement doesn't reflect his words.
Right. Okay.
You're going to have to give up some hobbies.
Yeah. Like, well, never mind.
I know where you're going, Robin. All right.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. I appreciate it.
Very good. Great, great question.
Okay.
Next up, we've got Brooks.
Mr. Brooks.
Brooks, you have the floor.
Hello, Eddie.
You've sat in this very office like these guys are sitting today, haven't you?
I did. I was up there earlier this year.
You were. What's happening, Brooks?
I'm looking at an asset here. It's also in Ohio, Cincinnati this time. I haven't purchased this one yet. I looked at the due diligence files, and everything looked fine, so I put the offer in, and went and got my own title work done, and when that came back, it had list of liens on it that I wanted to bring on the call and ask you guys about.
Okay.
So in this case, it's not so much the nature of the liens, it's the magnitude of them, I would guess. Because all told, it's almost $500,000 worth of liens, and it's only a $50,000 property.
So it kind of forces you to know you're going to have to foreclose and wipe them out.
Right, right. Yeah, just like Robin's owner, I mean, I don't even know who this guy is. I don't know if he even lives there or not. He doesn't look like he's going to be a very good homeowner, so I might as well just get him out of there. So that's part of the exit, but for this call, I just wanted to make sure that because of the size of some of these liens, I'm looking at the screen. I don't see the big one. There's like a $250,000 lien somewhere.
Well, if you got you can wipe them out. It doesn't make any difference.
Oh yeah, there it is. Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure that I had all the bases covered. As far as that goes, because I didn't want to make a $257,000 mistake. I did buy one of these last month and found out afterwards. I mean, when I say one of these, I mean I bought an asset that had a bunch of liens on it. I thought that I understood, but I had made an assumption that was incorrect, and now I've got a little problem on my hands. So this time I want to make sure, pass it by you guys to make sure that the federal taxes, I just foreclose, and all the IRS liens, the IRS is going to take a look at it and say, this house isn't worth keeping our liens on it, so we're just going to move on and take them off and put them somewhere else. Is that correct?
Well, if you foreclose, you wipe them out anyway, but the IRS will take it off if you can demonstrate no equity. Here's the thing that I would say to you. Pro Title, you can take this title search and talk to them, and they will give you their interpretation. Okay? They do a great job of that.
Okay. They're going to say something other than that there's just a whole lot of liens on this.
I'm just saying I don't have any reason to believe that any of these are superior liens. I'm going to pull it back short of guaranteeing that because I don't know. There's two ways you can do it. You can get an attorney to look at it. Jeff Watson, an attorney in Ohio, he can look at it. Mm-hmm. And he ain't gonna charge you that much to go look at the title search and say, "Yeah, you're superior, and you can wipe these guys out." Or you can call Pro Title, and they'll go through it with you. And that's what I would do.
Okay, I didn't realize that was an option.
No, they will. They're very good at that.
Okay. And I was thinking about going to an Ohio attorney for the state tax.
Yeah, let me be clear about this. You're not calling them up and wearing them out and going, "Well, I'm just thinking about buying it," right? You're ready to pull a trigger so long as you can get confirmation. That's what the story is.
That's right.
That's correct. That's what I would do. Kevin's here. You that sound reasonable? Martha's here.
That's exactly what I was saying.
Yeah.
There's other attorneys too, but if you can't get Jeff in Ohio,
I can just barely hear Kevin.
That's okay. He's talking about Legal League in Ohio, the six or seven other attorneys.
Yeah, I have an attorney there in Ohio, and I was going to take the state tax to him probably. Well, I was going to do it today, but now probably tomorrow, and ask him about the state part.
The first thing I would do is get Pro Title and let them look at it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, offhand, what would you guess is your first preference or two for an exit strategy? Should I try to turn this around and sell it using seller financing in the Ohio area, so like an NAA, thing, or
we have information on the asset itself. Did you send some more stuff?
Yeah, I sent a BPO in. I just got that a few minutes ago, actually.
Okay, it's fine. Can we pull that up and look at it?
So it's a nice little house, brick face, and not too old, but a little further down, the realtor does say that it's in a high crime area, but when I did a drive-through on the street view, it looks like a nice, clean neighborhood to me.
Did you look at it on Trulia?
Yeah, Trulia shows a little bit of heat, but not all that bad.
Hey, scroll it back up. Oh, here it is. Kevin, the address is 10019 Sunset Avenue in Cincinnati. 10019 Sunset Avenue.
That's just 1019.
19 Sunset Avenue.
Zip code is 45205. You know how I feel about BPOs, Brooks.
Yeah, I do. And you know,
it could be totally true, and it could be just totally just.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about this high crime and high risk for vandalism. You know, when I there's a little bit of heat there.
It's in the green to me.
A little yeller in there, but I'm not concerned about this, high crime statement on here. I mean, I saw this before I even made the offer on the house, so
yeah,
not a big deal. Yeah, so I mean, that's it looks like a nice house, though. Realtor even said there's not even any obvious things on the outside that needs to be fixed. It's interesting that it used to be a duplex, been converted. Yeah, here on Trulia, they even have inside pictures. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's probably when it was listed.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's what I would do. If you buy it, I would try to locate the seller. And
you mean the current homeowner?
And the homeowner, and try to get them to deed it over, and then what I would do is deed it over to another corporation or a land trust, and then you can go basically rent it, and then foreclose on yourself.
Oh. To wipe out the liens.
Correct.
Okay.
Before you do that, I would want you to talk to somebody like Watson and make sure he knows what you're doing. But I you know, you can do it.
All right. Well, now that we have Kevin in the room, I did watch his videos that he has many lessons on. And he says in the mini lessons to use this IRC section 6325, blah blah blah, during your foreclosure to wipe these or to make the IRS go away.
Correct.
Is that better than just trying to do a straight foreclosure, or
you aren't wiping out all the liens if you make the IRS go away, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm just not clear now if I need to do this, fill out this 6325 form.
Anytime you can make the IRS go away, make the IRS go away.
That's a good thing.
Okay, but it still doesn't wipe out all the liens, because we were looking at the title search, there's more than IRS liens.
Yeah, there was state
as well. The biggest problem is the IRS lien, but not the only problem.
Yeah, the state taxes on their own is $145,000. Altogether.
Okay.
Yeah, so okay, that's a game plan. I see better what to do now, and I'll go ahead and proceed with this asset.
Okay. Very good.
Brooks, there is another student that said they looked at this asset.
I'm I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't.
Don't worry, Eddie. I'm going to buy it anyway.
Oh, I got it, but I don't. I'm not. You know, if somebody else didn't want it, if they know something bad, it's fine. But I don't know anything bad about it, and I just don't want to start that.
All right. No problem.
I've been traffic copping this business a long time.
All righty. All right. Well, thanks, Eddie.
You bet. Thanks, buddy.
Next is a question from John and Dean. Dean, you have the floor.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Hey, yes. John, what's up?
Hey, Eddie. Okay, so we purchased a property from you guys here in Pennsylvania, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. And so I guess a couple of questions on this one. We had the, of course, there was force plates insurance on it, and we ended up taking it over. We ended up doing a deed in lieu to take over the property. So we officially own it here at this point. And the question that my partner John submitted, and we were discussing, was, do we still need to go ahead and get the fire insurance policy on it? Or are we still covered under the force place insurance?
Yeah, here's the deal, Dean. You don't want to pay force place any longer than you have to. Okay, because force place coverage is about 3 or 4 times the regular cost of insurance. So as soon as you can move it over and insure it otherwise, other than just for the protection of the lender, you want to do that. So you are correct in your question, and that is force placed is not the appropriate insurance for this house now that you have a deed to it.
Right. Okay. Now here's another question on this as well. When we got into the property, we had assumed that it would had been lived in and was being kept up. And here kind of find out the servicing company had, I don't think they came out and lied to us, but they were trying to keep everything in place there. The seller had, we found out later, that they were trying to get out from under it, and we could have done the deed in lieu a whole lot sooner. They basically told us that the servicing company had told us that it was still that they were still occupying it, and we were doing everything through the servicing company. Here it's been sitting vacant for about almost 2 years, and there's a lot of damage, a lot of water damage, roof needs repaired. Is there anything here that we can go back and get covered under the insurance policy, or is it pretty much what we have what we have at this point? We've got to do the repairs.
Yeah, that's a pre-existing condition, and insurance companies are pretty quick to tell you they're not paying for your rehab.
Right.
So you would have to establish from the time you put forced place coverage on it that all of that damage happened after you put it on there.
Okay.
They're definitely not going to cover a pre-existing condition.
Yeah, and I kind of assume that we're pretty much in a lost situation here. The property's probably as is. It's worth about $8,000. We've got about $20,000 into it.
Well, you know,
that's before doing any rehab or any repairs.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those deals, Dean. You just punch your way through it. You know, I mean, you're gonna have to go out there and figure out where you're at. And I'll tell you this, you know, sometimes, particularly in a market we're in right now, where is this asset at?
It's in Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
There's people buying assets right now for more money than you can imagine. one of the ways you do is you may use the cash buyer, cash lender approach and market to local investors and sell it to somebody like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that some of this stuff doesn't work out, but I'm telling you, a lot of times, if you'll just stay hooked, you know, you already kind of know that I don't put a great deal of stock in the local realtor, REO realtor, you know, telling me, well, it's just, you know, you're just done. I'm thinking, well, how many investors do you have on your list? They usually have about four. They don't have 400, they have four. And they got established relationships with them, and they call and they make it easy for them. Okay? I'm wanting the other 300 that, you know, are buying stuff aggressively today, I'm wanting to hear what they got to say.
Right.
So I'm just really will tell you, and even with our own portfolio, I push this a lot. You know, it's like, I get it. You know, REO agents have always got somebody in their back pocket. I can call this guy, or I got two guys, or whatever. But I'm just telling you, we have a lot of students that have just been tenacious and marketed to other local cash investors or lenders who have investors, and they sold stuff that's way more than the realtor even talked about. Yeah, Brooks just did
okay.
It. Don't jump off the billing yet.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Eddie.
All right, bud.
Sarah, you have the floor.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Sarah.
Hello. Hey, so I am wondering what sort of actions I can do without crossing over into, what's the word I'm looking for, stepping on self-servicing. I don't want to self-service alone, but if there's things that I can do and not have to bother the servicer to do, that would be cool. Like Charles recommended Lawn Love, and I used that for one of my properties. It was awesome. It was cheap, it was fast, they did a great job. So I was just wondering if there's other things like that that I can do, like finding an occupancy status. I know we have the one vendor, Weagle Look, but as far as like presenting a deed in lieu or cash for keys, is that things that, are there vendors that can do that, or does that need to be done through the servicer, or how does that work?
Well, Sarah, my official answer is that I'm telling you that you're using the licensed servicer. That's my official answer.
Okay.
I'm not naive. All right. Nobody is more motivated to find that borrower than you. And I'm pretty well known that I'm not like, after they run the skip trace and they say, we can't find them, I'm like, well, hell, my students can find them. They can find them every damn time. They get on Facebook, LinkedIn, you know, they call the neighbor. My students amazingly can find them. The servicers almost never can find them. So that seems to be something that you could figure out.
Okay. As far as offering
a deed in lieu or cash for keys, I will tell you that we're going to have the servicer do that.
Okay.
Okay.
As far as a skip trace, is that something that the servicer would order?
Order a skip trace. It's just a service they provide. They can't
do that? Okay.
You can try skip trace, but it's,
I don't really want to.
They don't ever
Okay. Is it basically...
You get on social media, you can find people.
Okay. Off the record, is a skip trace through the servicer kind of more like a formality?
No, I mean, it's a check yes in the blank attempt to go find them. It's not like it's real deal. It's an attempt to go find right party contact is what the industry calls it, right? You're just trying to make, have right party contact with the borrower. And it's but the issue is I just don't find skip trace really produces a positive result a high percentage of the time. Trust me, I've been on the phone with servicers in the last 6 months raising with them about all this stuff. And they're like, well, you know, we run a skip trace. And I'm like, well, my students can find them. I said, my students are all software engineer types. They can.
One of the related questions. In
their car.
Do you know, like, if I do an occupancy check on my own, does it have to be through a company? Or say if this house is in my backyard, it's not, but say if it was, can I go drive by and do my own occupancy check, or does the servicer say, no, this needs to come from a company?
No, absolutely you can do it. Here's what you can't do. You can't go, you can't have somebody to go out and engage with the borrower. We had somebody, we had a student that was looking at buying a note from us. I want to say a former student, but I the student goes out, and the next thing I know, they got some old boy with a ladder, and he's crawling up on top of the roof. Let me say something, that could be a problem.
Okay.
So don't violate the NDA. Okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I'm not telling you to go be creative and go offer them Girl Scout cookies or whatever.
No, my parents are avid travelers, and you know, they might be driving through Florida anyway, so they could always take a stand by.
Million miles riding property.
Okay.
Hudson, our son that's 19 now, when he was about 3 or 4 and Martha was buying REO properties and stuff, we'd load up the Roland Disney machine. This is when they had like a TV and you strapped it down with the bungee cord and, you know, remember, you know, all that back in the on the back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the Roland Disney machine, as we referred to it as. And we'd get up on Saturday morning, and Hudson kind of had a little bit of a lisp, and he'd go, we're going to wire Poppy today.
Oh, that's so cute.
So, anyway, yeah.
No, I just wondered, because one of my properties, I had personally driven by it on my way somewhere else, and I told the servicer, hey, I know the status of this property. And they're like, no, we have to send out a looker. So I didn't know if that was maybe just them or if that was an industry standard.
Kevin found a website, Find the Seller. What's it called?
It's on our membership website under Helpful Websites. If you go to Skip Trace, there's 4 of them. The first one on is and they specialize in locating.
There's $10.
Cool.
Let me tell you something. I don't want to get out. You've already heard me on a private call with the content group earlier today. So I try to stay out of trouble with the servicers. But if a servicer tells me that I can't tell them the status of the loan, that I got to go hire a third party company to do it, I'm probably going to holler bullshit on that one.
Okay. Good to know.
And you can say, Eddie, that, and then I'll get hate mail, and here we go.
When the servicer told me that, I was so brand new that I was like, all right, maybe that's a thing. I didn't know, you know.
Well, cool.
Find
I try to stay out of the hate mail bucket with the servicers, but I can't say I can go with that one.
Okay.
There's your Kevin said there's 4 of those vendors on the membership site under Helpful Websites.
Okay. Looks good. And for anyone who was wondering, Lawn Love, amazing. I highly recommend them.
I know Mangan came through on that one, didn't he?
Oh, my gosh. I am not kidding you. I put in the address. I got an auto response back saying, we'll get back to you. I had a quote in 15 minutes. It was for a quarter of the price that the servicer quoted. It was amazing.
I'm telling
highly
you.
Recommend. Megan knows what's up.
All right.
All right. Well, that
yep. Well, we got a lot of people that like long love.
Sweet. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Aaron.
I think we're on to announcements, Eddie, unless you have anything else.
Nope. All right. So we are swapping days on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And the reason we're doing it is because it enables us to stagger performing topics on Mondays and Wednesdays and non-performing topics on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It allows people not to have to wait so long for their response. So we're doing it for your benefit. And we are swapping those days October 1st. So we're going to keep the Wednesday time identical with the Wednesday time we are identical with the non-performing time on Wednesday. We're just going to move it to Thursday. It's the same time of the day. The performing note call on Thursday, we're moving to Wednesday, but we're going to leave it at the same time. So the same non-performing call will be at 3 p.m. Central Time. It'll move from Wednesday to Thursday, and then the performing note call that has been in the past on Thursday will be moved from noon back to Wednesday. Everybody can kind of see that. I'm just trying to kind of play it out for you. We've already done you a favor. We've already changed the time that you, when you registered for the September, October, we've already changed the time, and so your webinar notice won't require any re-registration. You just need to mark your calendar at the different time. So, let's see. Let's talk about some upcoming events. Go to, the appreciation. Yep, appreciation event. Is the one thing that you guys really, really need to do is if you've bought any assets in the last year or so, okay, it can be performing, it can be non-performing, you don't have to totally take it to resolution. I had a student tell me one day, Ellen, that they created a 20-year owner finance note and they were going to have to wait 20 years to do their case study. All right, well, We're gonna allow for a little bit of imagination here, okay? But if you can do a case study for every asset you've bought, and Kevin has really expanded this, and I know a lot of you that have bought assets, you just haven't done your case study yet. So I'm gonna put the hammer on you. You got to do your case studies, okay? You got to do them. Because we have a lot of different categories. There's prizes, there's pictures, there's Kevin Shortell is going to take you guys on a personal vacation for like a month. Or, you've got to enter your deals in the case study competition, and everybody that's ever done that will tell you it was well worth it, and we just expanded the possibilities. So got to do that. And make sure that you, of course, have registered for the appreciation event as well as Note Expo. Okay? So there's a link about the case study competition. You need to click that. There's a little film. Kevin explains it. And then also, obviously, the appreciation event. So the appreciation event starts out with a titanium special reception. And that is going to be, let me go back to that screen, if you will, Ellen. That's going to be November 2nd. And that's from 5:30 to 7:30. This is going to be at the top of the Riata Room, which is like a really cool place. So you're going to like that, guarantee it. And then Thursday, we're going to start with the Appreciation Day, and we're going to go all day. And then in the evening, we're going to have our dinner, our Appreciation Dinner, and the Charity Auction. And that's great food, fun. And so that's a long day on Thursday. Then Friday, we'll start Note Expo, and Note Expo is really coming together really nicely, and it'll be bigger and better than it's ever been. I'm at the Fort Worth Convention Center, so it's a very nice place. You need to make sure you register. If you're a mentor student, which you're on this call, so you are, make sure you click the correct link so that you don't just go to Node Expo and register, because Node Expo itself does not know that you're a mentor student. So there's a specific link, and then also there's a link here for the hotel. Now, I will tell you all a funny story. Well, it's not really that funny, but it's kind of funny. Last year, we told people to register for Node Expo and the appreciation event, and we told them to register for their room at the hotel. Now, I know you're going to find this shocking, but guess what happened? Yep, we had some people that didn't do it. And all of a sudden, they got a different price for coming to the event, and then guess what else happened to them? Horrible, horrible situation. They had to go get another hotel off-site and then drive in. So we only told them about it, like, you know, for months and months and months. And I understand procrastinating. I've championed that opportunity myself. But don't do it. Joe LeCount just said it right here in the room. Don't do it. Don't even think about it. All right, what else?
I think that's it.
Oh, excellent. Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow.
So, yeah, on tomorrow's webinar, Dina Graham is going to be going through the portal for the NPS, and that's relative to the 50-50, and that's what's going to be on tomorrow. So that's, if you guys are scheduling something really important, that would be a good thing to watch. Okay?
Sounds good.
I've got some classes coming up across the country. You guys can check your calendars, but got several classes coming up this fall, and they'll be good. Always great to see you guys live at a class, and obviously we'll make sure that everybody has in full-fledged motion with the appreciation event and Node Expo. Okay? Michael Rogers typed in the screen that he said wine and cheese next for the Titaniums that are visiting, and the answer is yes. That is correct.
Oh, nice.
So, yes, I'm buying.
Nice.
Sarah, I think you're going to be with us next month, right?
I will be, yes. I'm excited.
Ellen's already made the big ride down earlier this year, so. Or when are you coming?
October.
Yay! What? You're gonna be there with me. Yay!
Yeah. What day is that? It's right after the Newark 3-day, isn't it?
Yeah, 10th through the 12th.
Gotcha. Right.
Fun.
Well, we will have fun seeing you guys next month, and we'll have fun seeing all of you guys here in November. So see you then.
All right, thank you.
You guys.
Radio.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.